Welcome to Morgan Lewis Podcast Central. Dateline, January 30th, 2014. This is a podcast production of Morgan Lewis's Labor and Employment Law Flash. More to Supreme Court Sandifer decision than the definition of close. In Sandifer versus U.S. Steel, the U.S. Supreme Court provides its latest take on donning and doffing clothes and other important timekeeping issues under the FLSA. Now, on to the podcast. On January 27th, the U.S. Supreme Court issued its opinion on Sandifer versus U.S. Steel Corporation, unanimously holding that U.S. Steel employees could not avoid the terms of their collective bargaining agreement, which provides that they are only compensated for time at their workstations and not for time spent donning and doffing their required protective gear. The case turned on the definition of changing clothes found in Section 203(o) of the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938, FLSA. The court noted that normally the time spent donning and doffing such protective gear would be compensable under the FLSA as a so-called principal activity. Section 203(o), however, permits the exclusion from hours worked of the time spent in changing clothes at the beginning or end of each workday in accordance with the express terms of or by custom or practice under a bona fide collective bargaining agreement applicable to the particular employee. Background: Portal to Portal Act of 1947. The Portal to Portal Act of 1947 was enacted as an amendment to the FLSA and was designed to clarify the law with respect to the compensability of travel and other activities before and after the scheduled workday. The Portal to Portal Act provides that an employer need not count as time worked for minimum wage and overtime purposes, time spent traveling to and from the actual place of performance of the principal activity or activities which such employee is to perform, or in activities which are preliminary to or postliminary to the principal activity or activities of the job. Donning and doffing cases seeking overtime pay typically address claims by employees that their employers should have compensated them for time spent putting on and taking off protective clothing that is a prerequisite for doing their jobs. According to the U.S. Department of Labor, DOL, generally, donning and doffing, which may include clothes changing, can be a principal activity under the Portal to Portal Act. In Sandifer, the court reaffirmed the principle that any activity that is integral and indispensable to a principal activity is itself a principal activity under the Portal to Portal Act, and that donning and doffing of protective equipment typically will be such a principal activity unless it is excluded under FLSA Section 203(o). What are clothes? In Sandifer, the workers argued that a provision in their collective bargaining agreement that excluded the changing of clothes from compensable time was not subject to the FLSA Section 203(o) exclusion because putting on and taking off the protective gear was not the same as changing clothes, and therefore Section 203(o) was inapplicable. Specifically, the workers argued that the term clothes do not include items designed and used to protect against workplace hazards. Instead, clothes, according to the workers, are meant for decency and comfort. U.S. Steel argued that clothes encompasses the entire outfit that one puts on to be ready for work. The court rejected both interpretations, looking to the ordinary, contemporary, common meaning of the term clothes. The court noted that dictionaries from the era of subsection 203(o) enactment around 1949 indicate that clothes denote items that are both designed and used to cover the body and are commonly regarded as articles of dress. Ultimately, the court's unanimous decision hinged on a statutory textual analysis. The court focused on the fact that an operative word in section 203(o) was clothes, and the statute contained no exclusion for protective clothing. Absent an express exclusion, clothes meant clothes, nothing more, nothing less. The court further explained that the statutory context makes clear that the clothes referred to are items that are integral to job performance. The donning and doffing of other items would create no claim to compensation under the FLSA, and hence no need for the Section 203(o) exception. The court also explained what would not count as clothes, stating that many accessories, necklaces, and knapsacks, for instance, are not both designed and used to cover the body, nor are tools commonly regarded as articles of dress. The court addressed several specific items set out under clothes and equipment. For example, flame-retardant jackets, pairs of pants, hoods, hard hats, snoods, wristlets, work gloves, leggings, metatarsal boots, and safety glasses, earplugs, respirators, tools, wristwatches, necklaces, and knapsacks. What does it mean to change clothes? Having determined the definition of clothes, the court then turned to the meaning of changing. The workers argue that changing means substitution, for example, taking off an article of clothing and replacing it with another. Thus, protective gear that is placed over street clothes is not covered by Section 203(o). The court rejected this interpretation, holding instead that time spent in changing clothes includes time spent in altering dress. What if an employee changes clothes and puts on equipment at the same time? Applying the above principles to the facts at hand, the court rejected the use of a de minimis doctrine because it does not fit comfortably within Section 203(o), which, it can be fairly be said, is all about trifles, the relatively insignificant periods of time in which employees wash up and put on various items of clothing. Rather, the question for courts is whether the period at issue can, on the whole, be fairly characterized as time spent in changing clothes or washing. In that regard, if an employee devotes the vast majority of the time in question to putting on and off equipment or other non-clothes items, the entire period would not qualify as time spent in changing clothes under subsection 203(o), even if some clothes items were donned and doffed as well. But if the vast majority of the time is spent in donning and doffing clothes, as we have defined that term, the entire period qualifies, and the time spent putting on and off other items need not be subtracted. Implications for employers. The court's unanimous opinion leaves in place the ability to collectively bargain as to the start and end of the workday with respect to changing clothes, which now includes protective garments. The court declined to apply the de minimis doctrine in the context of donning and doffing under Section 203(o) and rejected an approach that would require the per-item parsing of the minutes it takes to don or doff a piece of equipment or clothing in favor of a determination of how an employee spends the vast majority of the disputed time. Employers with a unionized workforce that dons and doffs clothes and/or protective equipment should consider whether those activities are compensable, whether it is economically sensible to negotiate an exclusion under Section 203(o), or whether they should maintain a custom or practice under an existing bona fide collective bargaining agreement applicable to the particular employees involved. Although the focus in Sandifer was the meaning of changing clothes, a close reading of the case suggests three other important points that can be derived from its reasoning. First, in language that likely will impact a variety of wage and hour off-the-clock timekeeping cases under the FLSA, the court summarized the history of the Portal to Portal Act as abrogating earlier case law allowing employees to argue that they were entitled to compensation for any time necessarily required to be on the employer's premises for the employer's benefit. Rather, preliminary and postliminary activities are compensable under the FLSA only if they are an integral and indispensable part of the principal activities for which covered workmen are employed. This discussion in Sandifer strengthens the argument for employers that activities such as passing through security screening, booting up and shutting down computers, and other activities that are tangentially related but not integral to the performance of one's job are not compensable principal activities. Second, the court did not defer to the DOL's interpretations of Section 203(o), which the court described as having vacillated considerably over the years. The court has recently and repeatedly made the point that if the interpretations of a government agency such as the DOL have tended to change over time, they are not entitled to much, if any, deference. And finally, third, in a footnote that Justice Sonia Sotomayor declined to join, the court reaffirmed that a rule of statutory construction providing that FLSA exemptions are to be narrowly construed against the employers seeking to assert them does not apply to provisions appearing in FLSA Section 203, titled Definitions. If you have any questions or would like more information on the topics addressed in this podcast, please contact a Morgan Lewis attorney at morganlewis.com. This podcast is provided as a general informational service to clients and friends of Morgan Lewis & Bockius, LLP. It should not be construed as and does not constitute legal advice on any specific matter, nor does this message create an attorney-client relationship. These materials may be considered attorney advertising in some states. Please note that any prior results discussed in the material do not guarantee similar outcomes. Read more about Morgan Lewis and its market-leading labor and employment practice at morganlewis.com/labor.